Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Adversity used as a bridge. You know, I don't know about you. Have you ever been around somebody that you keep pushing them, and then all of a sudden they go berserk? You know, I haven't always been a Christian. I used to be quite a scrapper, but I've only started two fights in my life. And one of them was with a young man. I won't call his name. We're friends on Facebook. But he narked on me in high school when I just so happened to miss school. Beach was calling my name, and I had a car and a little money in my pocket and decided to go there. And so he narked on me, and I was trying to get him to fight, and I kept pushing him just with things I did. Last time I told that story, I went into a little bit more detail. Somebody came to me and said, "Pastor, you ought to call him up and apologize." Oh, shut up. That was 25, 30 years ago. Apologizing for that. We were kids. Nowadays, you get arrested for that. But anyway. But before I knew it, he slapped me upside my head. I didn't see it coming. He just snapped and slapped me. Now, the good ending to that story would be that I pushed him to where he fought back and beat me up. But that ain't how it went. But he did surprise me with that one hit. Pastor, what does this got to do with anything? I'm going to tell you. Some of us just keep getting pushed by the enemy. And keep getting pushed by life and pushed by adversity. And instead of crumbling under the pressure, somebody needs to go berserk, not with a real weapon, because you do go to prison for that, but you need to go berserk in the spirit. Paul said it this way: even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Look at your neighbor, especially if it's your spouse, and say, "You are not my thorn." If you have children sitting around you, look at them and go, "You are not my thorn." Some of y'all are having way too much fun with that. I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So now I am glad to boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. Father, bless the reading of your word and give me that which makes preaching easy and effective, which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Talking about adversity used as a bridge. So at some point in time, as Paul dealt with this adversity, this messenger of Satan, at some point in time, there was a switch, there was a transformation that happened from it becoming more than what he could handle to something that he used. And so we've got to come to a realization that our adversity is not there to destroy us, but to develop us. And our adversity is there not because that God is mad with us, but because God has something for us. If you're taking notes, I think it is on YouVersion right now. But point one is this: adversity touches everyone sooner or later. If you're one of those who go, well, Pastor, I've never been through adversity, you just keep on living. That's all you got to do. Just keep living, baby. It's going to come. Well, Pastor, that's not very encouraging. No, but here's the other side of that. Because some of you think that adversity only touches me. That I'm the only one who goes through this. And that's what the devil wants you to believe. But you are not the only one. It touches everybody at some point in time in their life. And usually it's not just one time, but it's reoccurring. But every time that the devil brings adversity to you or God allows it to come to you, then you need to turn that and use it as a bridge to get over whatever it is that you're going through. See, some believers crumble under the pressure of difficult times. You ever, don't point at nobody. But have you ever met Christians at the first sign of trouble that they just seem to lose their faith? They lose their relationship. At the first sign of trouble, they give up, tuck tail and run, and you don't see them anymore. And they use these kind of phrases. Well, I'm going to get my life back together and then I'm going to come to church. Or I'm going to get my life cleaned up and then I'm going to come to Jesus. That will never happen. Because you can't clean up your own life. You need the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in order to clean up your life. You don't have enough self-help. You don't have enough intestinal fortitude. You don't have enough willpower to clean out the demons in your life that have attached itself from all the behavioral things that you have done in your life. But there is a power that breaks the yoke of bondage. There is a power that can come into your life. It is called the Holy Spirit, and it can layer by layer by layer by layer by layer by layer begin to break off the chains that hold you, that hold your mind, that hold your habits, that hold your body, and it can break it out off of you in the name of Jesus. And he can do it in a moment or he can do it over time. But you've got to allow God to do what he does. But in order to do that, you've got to get mad enough at your situation to do something about it. Well, Pastor, you just don't know my situation. Well, I might not know your particular situation, but I know your situation. And I've been doing this for 30 years now, and as all the people that I've talked to, I would say in the last 10 years, there was only one conversation that I had in my office with somebody, and I went, wow. I'm serious. I mean, it upset me. My wife could tell you. It upset me for a couple of days. What was it? None of your bizwax. But there's just not enough things that surprise me. But you've got to come to a realization that you get tired of the devil putting dirt on you. It's like the old donkey that caught himself caught in a well. And he was in the well, And the old farmer said, there's no way. They didn't have the tractor or anything like that then. He goes, there's no way that I can bring that donkey up, so I might as well bury it. And so he would throw dirt into the well, and every time the dirt would hit the old donkey, he would shake it off and then trample it underfoot. After he kept doing this time after time after time, the old farmer realized that the donkey was coming up. That the donkey kept putting stuff, shaking it off his back, began to put it under his feet. And I've come by to tell somebody that you need to shake yourself, put it under your feet, and say, I'm not going to let this thing bury me. I'm going to rise to the top. I'm not going to let this situation, I'm not going to let this adversity, I'm not going to let what I'm going through cause me to die in this well. I'm going to come on up because I know in whom I have believed. People, Christians, that I seen that, I can't remember the whole thing. I seen this meme today, I thought it was great. Christians recite creeds and prayers. Believers do something else, but I love the other one. It said, but disciples are battle scarred. Where? What church did you go to that said if you came to Jesus, it was just going to be a tiptoe to the tulips? Come to Jesus and your life is just going to work out great. I'm going to tell you, that was a lying preacher, whoever told you that. Because what Jesus said is, in this life you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And the same God that said you were going to have some trouble said this. He said, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So what that tells me is I might have to fight, but you know what I consider a good fight? Not that I got some good licks in. I consider a good fight is the one that I win. Well, that was a good fight. I lost it, but that was a good fight. No, it wasn't no good fight. I lost. It's a good fight when I win, and I'm going to tell you, I win, you win. But some believers crumble under that pressure of difficult times, and they become so bitter and resentful towards God that they walk away from the calling on their lives. They might even resort to addictive behaviors in an attempt to escape the pain. Let me tell you something, man. I promise you, alcohol, drugs, sex, relationships, you name it, is not going to cure the pain in your life that was caused by life. The only cure is not more cowbell. Only four people got that, y'all. I got to educate y'all. There ain't no more cowbell. What, the only cure is Jesus, man. The only cure is the blood of Jesus. The only cure, that's the cure, is Jesus. See, listen, others face similar challenges, but have a total different reaction. You know, here's what we do. We see somebody go through what we've been through, and they go, oh, that was different. It wasn't as severe as mine. And then we begin to compare adversity. Oh, well, I had it worse because, you know, my daddy whipped me with a bigger belt. That's what, mine was worse. No, baby. You see people go through it and some crumble. You see others go through it and they thrive. They overcome it. Why? Because they turn the adversity into a bridge to a better place. You can't talk to me, well, brother, pastor, I'm this way because I was raised poor. Man, I was raised poor. We didn't even have an OR. My baloney didn't have no first name. We were Pope. We had a Haitian family that sponsored us. We were poor. But I could either decide that this is my lot in life, or I can decide, no, in the name of Jesus, not today, not tomorrow, and not the next day, devil. I'm going to be who God's called me to be. Hey, my God, I feel a fight on me today. Woo! See, instead of weakening them, trials make them stronger because they learn to depend more fully on the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people, how many people do you know, or maybe you're that person, they said, how did you get through that? And you just shake your head. I don't know how I made it through. I don't know how I came out on the other side. I don't know why I'm not crazy. I don't know why I'm not dead. I don't know why I'm not in jail. I don't know why I'm not in prison. I'll tell you, it was the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the power of Almighty God. And that same power that was for me and you, is for the other people too. Woo! Adversity can be either an overwhelming burden or a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. You got to choose. I can't choose it for you. You have to choose. Now, point number two is this. Bridge, a burden or bridge? Which one is adversity? Burden or bridge? Is it a burden in your life? Or is it a bridge in your life? Because we can see tough times as a burden or a bridge. And can I tell you, your perspective changes everything. Your perspective on what you see changes how you go about the next actions of your life. Because a burden, spiritually speaking, is a heaviness that weighs us. I'm not talking about a burden from God. You know, because there is a godly burden. But I'm talking about a burden. Well, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go to the garden and eat some worms. We may feel weary or discouraged, without joy and without peace. That's a burden. But a bridge. A bridge, in contrast, is the way to rise above the difficulty and develop a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. You need to recognize that God, the same God that delivered me out of yesterday, will be the same God that delivers me today, and is going to give me one more victory in my belt and tell the devil, "Though devil, you're done messed up," because a God is a delivering God. Now, let me give you two verses. Two verses are the foundation of this bridge to greater intimacy with God. Psalms 103 says this: "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." God's got me. Look at somebody and tell them, say, God's got you. You just make sure you got him. And then, of course, Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for the good. That's where many of us mess up. I quoted it as a pastor. I quoted it for years. I'd say, "Well, God causes all things to work together for my good." That is, I don't care what translation you go to. I don't say that. You can go to the NIV, the Nearly Inspired Version. You can go. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody write me any letters. You can go to whatever translation you want to. It doesn't mean that. It says God causes all things to work together for good. In the New King James Version, one that Paul used, said the good. All things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Huh. I just happened to look back there, and I'm glad to see Amber and Sam. They left us and went to be youth pastors at the First Assembly over in Fruitland Park. It ain't First Assembly, it's Trinity or something like that. But we're glad to see you guys. You're doing a great job over there. Come on, give it up for them. Amen. You can use this sermon tomorrow. Point number three. Point number three. This is my last point. But I got about 8 sub-points. But anyway, y'all think I'm kidding. Adversity as a bridge in the life of Paul. Let's look at it. The life of Paul is one of the best examples of how adversity can act as a bridge to a closer relationship with God. You know, have you ever noticed that some things draw people closer? You know, here's what I say. I did a funeral today. I was part of a funeral. I didn't do it. I was part of a funeral today. And here's what I say about death. It brings out the best and the worst. Right? This is what COVID-19 did, bring out the best and the worst in people, right? I mean, everybody understands what I'm talking about. You know, it brought out the worst, that all of a sudden everybody felt like they needed toilet paper for an upper respiratory infection. And they would hoard it too. You know, man. You know, my wife has to go to the grocery store 3 times just to get enough meat to make a one meal. Because I am a meatitarian, you know. But anyway, it brings out the best and the worst. But his caused him to come closer to God. And without the supernatural revelations that the Lord gave him, he would have had far less insight into the living of the day-to-day Christian life. But his closeness to the Father, to God, came as a result of the severe personal loss and hardship. You listen, there are some things that I have a theory about. But the things that I have actual knowledge and experience with, you'll never change my mind. You'll never change my mind. You've come too late to change my mind. Well, you just hard-headed and ignorant. So? I'm living my best life. Philippians 3:8 said this, "Yet indeed I also count it all loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." So, next slide, through difficulty, Paul learned contentment is possible in the midst of adversity. Contentment is possible in the midst of adversity. And of course, we know that for Philippians 4:11, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in." You know, I'm not Paul by no stretch of the imagination, but I used to run Wendy's in Panama City, Florida. And I was the training manager, and I was the backup supervisor for a chain of about 6 stores. And so one day, I don't remember what I did or whatever, but my boss came in, who was a supervisor, which he was not a great leader, Danny Strickland, but anyway. I could go on some more of that, but I won't. But anyway, he came in, and to punish me, now this was 30 years ago. Yeah, almost 30 years ago. So to punish me, he had me take out the trash. I was whistling the whole time. And he cussed at me. He goes, "What the blankly blank, 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 blank are you doing?" I said, "I'm taking out the trash." "What's this whistling about?" I go, "Dude." And 30 years ago, I said, "If you want to pay me $425 a week to take out the trash, I'm going to be your best trash picker upper all day long." Listen. And then I said, "Do you want me to wash your car? I'll wash your car. You're paying me $425 a week. I don't care what I do. You want me to clean the grease trap? I'll clean the grease trap. I'm going to be the best." And he said, "Get yourself back in there and run that store." Because he learned he couldn't make me mad or defame me or cause me to do something beneath me, because baby, you pay. I wish everybody would understand what I'm saying right now. You paying me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. What you want me to do? Yeah, I'll go do that. Ain't no big deal. I ain't no talking about, it ain't my job. It ain't in my job description. You getting paid, it's in your job description. So that, Pastor, what does that got to do with Paul? Can't y'all see the correlation? That I don't care what I was doing, he was still getting paid. And I don't care if I'm going through trouble or I'm going through trial or I'm going through blessing. I know that God is on my side, and I know that this too shall pass. It's not come to stay at my life. It will pass. Now listen, I don't want you to think, well, every time Pastor goes through stuff, he just whistles. Oh, I whistle all right. Let's go whoop somebody. Yeah. Through difficult, Paul learned contentment is possible in the midst of adversity. Secondly, he learned that God provides supernatural strength in our weakness. How do you make it through? How do you make it through loss? How do you make it through a loss of loved one? How do you make it through the loss of a child? How do you make it through the loss of a job? How do you make it through a loss of a marriage? Some of y'all celebrated that one. But anyway, how did you make it through the loss of your home? How did you make it through the loss? You wonder, and it's because God provided strength that was supernatural outside of your own self to make it through that. Oh, if I would have been you, if I'd have been you, I'd have just died. Not if you have what they have, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul's limitations allowed the Holy Spirit's power to work through his life. And he said to me, 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you, for the power is perfected in weakness through adversity. Paul learned, the Lord is the source for all he needs. He is the source. Listen to me. You need to recognize, man, that your source is not the job, but thank God for the job, right? You know, I know plenty of people go, I don't need this job. God's got me. And God's like, I was using that job, bro. That was my source, was that job that you just quit, right? Because you got mad because they asked you to sweep. I ain't no sweeper. Man, I'll sweep the floor all day long. The Lord is the source for all of our needs. He is the source of our strength. He is the source of our peace. He is the source of how we get through. He is the source of how we get off crack. He is the source of how we get off the sauce. He is the source. He is the source of how we get off sugar. No, I done went to meddling now, hadn't I? He is the source of how we get over or get through or get beyond whatever it is that we are dealing with. He is our source. And because here's what he said, Philippians 4:19, for my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Paul found out that he can trust in the Lord's faithfulness. He can trust in the Lord's faithfulness. See, the problem with us is people have let us down. And most people who let us down didn't do it intentionally. I mean, you got to be one sick person to think, oh, I'm going to let them down. Watch, I'm gonna just build them up and then cut their feet out from under them. That's not it. But here's what I want you to know. That Paul had learned to depend on the Lord to carry him through any trial. Here's what he said. No temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to get out from under it. No, it said to be able to bear it, to be able to endure. See, the problem is so many of us are running for the hills when we should be making us strong. So many of us are running for the hills and trying to find an escape when God said, I'm trying to get you to grow up and endure. Paul learned that the Father values service more than our desires. God, you don't ever give me what I want. Because what you want will fail. What you want only lasts us for a moment. But if you'll do what I want, he said, you'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Instead of satisfying Paul's natural inclination toward comfort and ease. That's what I want. I'm going to tell you right now. Years ago, I used to have a recliner. And my wife called it the divorce chair. Because we didn't sit together. So then we got a couch that had recliners. Come on, somebody. Then, now, we got and when we had the couch, there was these little crumb snatchers that would always come in and get in between us. So we moved the couch, crumb snatchers, children. Y'all ain't ever heard that before? Then we got a love seat. Love potion number 9. Love seat. That nobody can get between us. And we pull them bad boys out, see. I love comfort. I love comfort. I love comfort food. I love comfortable pillows. I love a comfortable bed. I love comfort. But God sent adversity to Paul for a greater service. And he sends you and I, or allows it to come, for a greater service. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. That's not a buffet. To buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure. Listen to this. The Lord prioritizes character development over comfort. We want God. Lord, just make things better. He goes, I'm trying to. But the only way things are going to get better is by bettering you. Do you understand that some of the things that used to cause me to stay up all night, and I go, oh, it's just you. Remember when the devil, I don't know about y'all, but I remember the devil used to come at me sometimes late at night, and I'd be like, oh, Lord Jesus. And now the devil comes in, I go, hey, listen, if you're going to stay here, just go over there and go to sleep. I said, Lord, if you're going to be up here in my house, won't you just go down and mess with Justin? He's younger. I ain't got time for that. The things that used to cause me to wig out, I'm like, ah, it's all right. Come on, somebody. During this adversity, Paul found that in difficult times, God will give us strength to proclaim the truth. Remember how, you know, here's what I've learned. The older people get, the less filter they have. The older they get, either they don't realize that they don't think that they've got enough time to explain everything and they just say it, or their I care goes out the window. I don't even care. I remember when Mama Turner was alive, and I asked her, Mama Turner, I know that since I've been here, it's about two years, 3 years, and a lot of things have been changed. I said, Mama Turner, I know that she was 84 at the time. I said, Mama Turner, I know that a lot of things have changed in the church since I've been here. Are you okay with all this? And man, she went to give me a list of everything she didn't like. You would think she'd care for my feelings. But she didn't. I ain't got time for all them feelings. And she just told me everything. Now at the end, God be the Lord, she said, it ain't about what I like. I don't know if you heard that. I don't know. She said, it's not about what I like. She said, I've been praying for God to move in this church all my life. And people are getting saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Marriages are being brought back together, and families are being back together. She goes, it's not about what I like, it's what I've asked God for. Now listen, be careful that you don't misunderstand what you like and what you're asking for. I want to be healthy, but I want to eat Snickers. You better preach. I want to be healthy, but Tasty Treats calling my name. Yes, Holy Spirit. Yes, I feel a witness. Paul was in prison. But because he was in prison, and through Philippians 1, 13 through 15, the whole guard, our guards, heard the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Huh. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. It's amazing how many people know your golf score but don't even know you a Christian. Well, Pastor, I don't like to boast about being a Christian. Well, they can't tell because of your life and language. Let me move on. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some from goodwill. Listen, I like being liked. I'm a normal. I like being liked. But if I got to choose being liked or the truth, I'm going to have to go with the truth. The more adversity we face, the more effective our message will become to others. Because, you know, when people know that you've been through something, you got something to say. I remember there was a 17-year-old we let preach, and he was talking about, hey, you know, when you ain't got money to pay your bills every month. I'm like, boy, you don't even have no bills. Shut up, sit down. You ain't got no bill. Your mom and daddy got bills. You ain't got no bill. Right? I'm on time. All right. Paul learned, let's find out where I'm at, that we can treat everything as if it comes from the Lord. He learned that. The Lord uses all experience. No matter where it comes from, if you allow him to, it'll be those teaching moments. It'll be those times when it's a bad thing. You know, my wife has always been great at with our children. Because we would, you know, when our church was smaller and I was the only pastor, everything had to be done by me. And so when something would happen and our plans would be interrupted or whatever, and my wife would always tell the kids now, or she would say, listen, you know, we've got to go do this, but we need to thank the Lord because they lost their, like one particular time we had to come off vacation, they lost their dad and we still got your dad and da-da-da-da. And then when I would get to do stuff that other dads wouldn't able to do because of the pastorate, she would go, hey, look, now see, no, dad's able to take off this day and go with you because he is the pastor. So she would balance it out. That the truth, you see, you got to recognize that everything that comes from God, man, you can use it. Everything that happens in your life, you can use it. He learned that more about the Lord through trials. Suffering often is the stimulus to a greater closeness with God. I have no idea where I'm at right now. Adversity, there we go. Adversity, oh come on. Adversity prepares us to comfort others more effectively. When you've been through stuff, you know, how many in here who you've talked to people that go, well, you don't know what I've been through, and then they told you what you've been through, you go, oh, shoot, girl. Let me tell you, I've been right where you at. Oh, shoot, man, I was right there, dude. You can't tell me nothing, right? But when you go through stuff, then you're able to look at somebody and go, hey, I've been there. Quitting is just a cop-out. Quitting, you can't do that. Let me tell you how the Lord brought me through. Because the Bible says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep from exalting myself. He also found out that God has a specific purpose for allowing adversity. You know, when we built this church, can y'all believe 12 years ago, almost 13 years ago now? We moved in 08, so it'll be 12 years in June. When we built this church, we did all the background checks. We checked out the contractor. We did everything right. Had the money in the bank. We dotted the I's, crossed the T's. And it took us 3 years to build this. The contractor still owes us $500,000. Yeah, that'll keep you up at night. And when it was over, I was complaining to God. God, why'd you let this happen? God, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? And I'll never forget what God said. He said, if everything would have went smooth and fine, you would have took credit. See, God, does God ever talk to y'all like that, or is it just me? He like, you would have took credit that it was you. No, I wouldn't have. Uh-uh. Not me. I'd have gave you all the credit. But deep in your heart, you say, yeah, I did a good job. But now, everybody, including you, knows it was me that got you through. Hallelujah. All right. Last but certainly not least, I think. What's my next one? All right, I just hit that one. We are to know joy in the midst of adversity. Man, and that's tough, isn't it? I remember when my children used to be small and they would be upset or they would be mad, and you know, I would try to always get them to laugh or do something. my oldest one was real bad about, you know, for whatever reason, if she would go, when she was about 4 years old or 3-4 years old, she would go, if you hurt yourself, you want me to pray for it? Oh, so sweet. Yeah, pray for it. She'd come lay her hand. Lord, just touch him in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be healed. And she'd push you. Like, I mean, she'd been watching some televangelists. Be healed. But then when you did it to her, now be healed. No, I don't want to be healed. I'm still hurting. Right? But we need to know the joy in adversity. The Bible said, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Please hear me. Easier said than done. Anybody want to get, let's get a little selfish. Nobody else is looking around. Only the people behind you will see you. Does anybody in this room every once in a while kind of like being mad? People just kind of move out of your way when you walk in there. Oh, don't mess with them today. They're a little mad. Just walk in, just morning. Yeah. I rarely do it, but I'm still guilty every once in a while. Everybody leave me alone. Like, I like this. I can get something done. People call the office. Oh no, your pastor ain't available today. Mm-mm. No, we're not going to let you talk to him. We want you to keep coming back to the church, so we're not going to let you talk to him. How's Pastor Justin? We'll let you talk to Pastor Justin. And with Diana, you never know if she's mad or not. She's plotting your demise. So anyway, but we are to be joyful in the midst of adversity, which is harder to do. But we got to do it, man. And how do you do that? My best way, the best way I know how to do it, is through worship. The best way that I know how to do it is worship the Lord. I can't find this button.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.